Time to crack a big cold beer and listen to the Triple M Big Breakfast Catch-Up Podcast for Victoria Bitter, official sponsor of Hard Work. 18 plus.
Hello, welcome to the Catch-Up. Thank you for streaming. Make sure you subscribe as well. We addressed the Stage 5 clinger on The Bachelor.
Yeah.
This morning.
Yeah, we did with Cassie. Poor little thing. She's still in there, not quite sure for how long. Anyway, Marto and I had two different takes.
Stage 5 clinger is just brutal, Brando.
She's the worst.
Yes. Well, we also spoke about, have you been paid to do nothing? Mm. Fascinating calls. People getting cash for doing
people are so
zip.
Proud of themselves, aren't they?
I think it's an Australian thing. And do you know what? I did nothing.
And they paid me. And we talked about strawberries. And it is, because it's at peak, you know, peak chaos at the moment, the strawberry crisis. And we spoke to people and they just said, the farmers just said, buy right now. Even if you've got nothing to do with it apart from lick it off each other's bodies, get stuck into it.
Right on.
They didn't say that.
What? We did not say that.
It's well, a good selling point.
We're saying that.
Well, we've said, what else
we
should we do with it?
Get them into you any way you can.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Smoko Shout.
You guys know what Smoko Shout is.
Yes.
I go out to building sites or to factories or large work sites and hand out Smoko on Wednesday.
Yeah.
Yesterday, a little
loaves and fishes.
And I told you what we were doing, and you guys said, that is a great idea. So we went up to a strawberry farmer, said, I want to see, find out what's going on. Took out, it normally costs us about $250, $300 to buy the Smoko on a Wednesday morning, and then we go and give it out. I went, nah. Let's go and give that $250. Well, actually, we gave him $300 in the end to the a farm, went and found a strawberry farm up at Whamiran, gave them the money, filled the back of the Triple M truck with strawberries, and then later gave them out at Chermside and
Stafford.
I said,
like, he gave you, he didn't just take the money. He said, here, have all these strawberries.
Oh, they had them ready for us because we rang and said, we're on our way. We gave him the cash, he gave him money, and he gave us strawberries. It was a business transaction. Yep. And then I had a chat to him. So here's, I've cut it down because we were chatting. It was like Russell Coit, you know, he goes out and meets those people. We were wandering through the...
You were Russell Coit.
We were wandering down the rows of strawberries. It was really sad what's going on.
Okay.
If you've just come out of a cave, of course, people have been putting needles into strawberries. This bloke's farm had nothing. His name's Adrian. Had nothing to do with it at all, but somehow... He's been caught up with it. Every strawberry farmer in Australia has been caught up with it. They reckon
it's just unbelievable how they've had to trash the whole crop.
Four needles, is that right? Four needles they've actually been found. So some disgruntled employee is how it started, probably. But a million punnets of strawberries have been thrown out.
The little girl who did it as a joke in a school, like it's now just gone.
The lady that did it at Maribyrnong. Well, that's the cup again. Well, here you go. Here's my chat with Adrian. Everyone, it is so serious, and he has a message at the end. Honestly, these people, but they're not millionaires. I saw where they live. I've seen the sheds. I've seen the cars they drive. They are hardworking Aussies who have been caught up in something that has none of their doing. And he started to talk to me about these people over in Western Australia and stuff who are buying metal detectors, okay? $30,000 these machines are. It's a terrible thing. Here's Adrian.
Did you see that thing? It was a WA South Australia got the metal detector.
Oh, mate, there's been utes driving around here with metal detectors on. I reckon about 10 of them have been sold in this area in the last 2 days. You cannot sell into Coles now unless you've got a metal detector. Put it this way. If you're a terrorist and you're going to get on a plane, you're going to get screened at the airport.
Yeah.
Right? You're not going to get screened at your house and stop off on the way and pick up a gun.
Yep.
So putting all these metal detectors out...
That's not going to do anything?
No, because there's so many steps between here and...
That's right.
...it gets on calls.
I won't ask you, but everyone would have a theory on what the hell's going on.
I think the initial one was a real, genuine, disgruntled worker, and then it's just escalated to copycats. You can't be having people in New Zealand, Tasmania, South Australia, even Victoria, New South Wales and Queensland. It can't be one individual.
Tell everyone what yours are called.
Loverberry.
Loverberry.
Main message is to get out there today, this crisis mode.
Today.
And buy some strawberries. We need Coles, Aldi, Woolworths confident that people want to buy them and they'll start ordering off
us. But what happens if they haven't got them in those stores? Well, go to your fruit shop.
Go to your fruit shop. Your local fruit and veggie shop and buy as much as you can. Yeah, IGA is still stocking them.
Right.
So, get out there and do it. Cut them up, don't cut them out.
Cut them up. Don't cut them out.
If that's put out your strawberries, people. Put out your strawberries.
Well, start buying them. That's what he said. Tomorrow's too late. He said today. If they don't buy them today, he'll virtually be ploughing them all back into his field.
Start eating. It's
Eat at least 8 a day. I've looked them up. They're full of vitamin C and antioxidants, so they'll actually make you look younger and take a bit of weight off.
Oh, wonderful. I'm rushing out to buy some.
I'm not a doctor.
No, we know. It's all thanks to Southside Auto Auction. Marto Smoko shouts back next week for a better way to buy or sell a car. Southsideautoauctions.com.au. Big breakfast, Triple M.
Righto, bachelor.
Bachelorette. Okay, give us the latest on the Nutella ferret.
Okay. Nutella ferret? I haven't heard that one yet.
Honey badger, sorry. Okay, come on. You've stood up, you put your hands in your pocket and you're ready to go. Let's go.
I knew it was a big night because I said, I'm only doing Survivor from now on Monday and Tuesday.
You say that every Wednesday, Thursday. But anyway, keep going.
And here we are.
Daughter and wife were clearly excited about something that was going to happen and I didn't know what it was. And it was Cassie, the one with the big forehead but the hair extensions, I think you call her.
Yes, yeah, the one with the really bad blonde hair extensions. Yeah, okay. She's sweet as. She's gorgeous. She's the one that went out with him previously before they got into
that. They didn't just go out. Now, let's be very clear. They went out a number of times and they were stoinking. Correct, Moon?
Where does the big forehead end and baldness begin?
I have no answer for that question.
There should be a ruler, shouldn't there, from eyebrow to start of hair.
Okay, stop picking on her physical features. That's not cool.
Okay. Very true.
Apart from the hair extensions, which aren't part of her.
That's exactly right.
Okay, fair enough.
So let me just check before we get underway here. What part are you, if you're going to pick on somebody, a female, what part are you allowed to pick on the hair?
Well, I just was saying that they're not great hair extensions. I'm not having a crack at how she's genetically made.
Anyway,
tell me about the day.
Cassie, who, imagine his thoughts, and we've been down this track before, the honey badger turns up and some girl he's already been with is trying to win his heart. No. So finally, he had not given her a date.
She'd been on a lot of group dates, but no single.
But she'd been kept in the loop. Like, she kept keeping on getting a go. Last night, they were all so happy for her. Those empty noggins of theirs. They were so happy that Cassie got a single date with the honey badger. Honey badger is so shallow.
Is he?
He sure is. Oh, my God.
He is as shallow as a pool in a drought down the shallow end.
Yeah. You said it, brother.
Wow, you are good with analogies in your expert area. All right. So this is it. They finally get a chance. They're on the lounge. They've had the day together, and finally they get a chance to really talk about how they feel. Let's analyse what went on here. You tell me how she went, how he went at the end.
Obviously, I feel strongly about you, but I guess every time I walk away from our conversations and stuff, I don't know how you feel. I'm like...
To be honest, I actually find it difficult to show a lot of feelings and emotion, you know, in this environment when I'm, you know, on a group date here and then single date now, and you don't want any harm to come to anyone, but you wouldn't hurt a fly yourself, and you're a really nice girl.
The last bit.
See ya, mate.
You're a really nice girl.
Yeah.
Damned with faint praise from the jam mongoose, that is.
Yeah, the jam mongoose. Now, he's virtually said it's not me, it's you.
I know, and look, I got that well and truly, but I also understand that when you are desperate for someone to like you, your eyes are so clouded and you pick up the little nuances and the things that you feel are positive. What kind of made me want to go, Cassie?
So now I went to bed soon after. Where did it end up?
Okay, so we all agreed that basically she was told...
You're a nice person, but
I don't want to be in a relationship. Yeah. This is what
you don't have sex with nice people, do you?
No, well, or that's the other thing. If they did do that, he's also saying to her, yeah, not good enough. Yeah, great, thanks. Anyway, so...
Four out of ten.
So he's basically said in a kind of kind way, I'm not interested. You know what she took out of the conversation?
Oh, what?
Have a listen.
So Nick's complimenting me and saying really nice things and I'm just looking at him and I don't know how to react and all I want to do is really just kiss him. I feel like this whole thing's made me grow as a person.
into a better bunny boiler.
That is just a woman so desperate for him to love her.
She has totally misunderstood the margarine meerkat there.
Wake up with the Big Breakfast. Weekday mornings from 5:30.
ABS Grand Final lunch. It's happening in just 5 days. Kevin Walters, Gordon Tallis, the Screaming Jets joining us. We're working on another rather large name as well, which hopefully we can announce tomorrow. You want to be there, though. The only way to get in is triplem.com.au. We'll get some more winners tomorrow.
Everyone remember who Steve Smith is or was?
Yes, he's newlywed.
Newlywed, yeah.
Newlywed cricketer.
He was in the news last week. Everyone, of course, had their fun over him over Sandpaper Gate. But the problem was he was captain while Warner and Bancroft were doing their thing. Banned for a year. Mm-hmm. The thing I want to talk about, because when he got married last week, we all started to go, well, I started to go, hold on, he got married. What happened with the money side of things? Because he was on about $5 million a year while he was married.
Wow.
Yeah, it went up. When Michael Clarke was around, it went from like maybe they're getting 800,000, a million, then it's all of a sudden elevated. So $1 million of that is guaranteed. So I've dug around. He definitely gets that, okay? What still comes in. He's lost about maybe 600,000 by not playing for match. They get match fees, bonuses.
Yep.
Wheatbix have taken away. A lot of his sponsors have just gone.
So that $5 million was not sponsorship or it was sponsorship?
No, that's from the Australian Cricket Board, Cricket Australia, for playing. You get this much for a test. You get this much for a one day. You get this much
for... So Wheatbix is on top of that.
Wheatbix, all these all other sponsors.
Oh, yeah. Lord.
They took it up towards $4 million a year. So he's back down to a mil. Still pretty good by everyone.
Yeah.
You'd be able to get through.
Nothing.
Be able to squeeze through. That's right. Doing nothing. Warner's the same. Bancroft is on a lot less, but Warner's on very similar to Steve Smith. And then I think about Quade Cooper. He's running around getting paid $650,000 a year to play club footy here in Brisbane because he won't play, he's not getting picked anything else.
People think that being paid to do nothing might be the dream job, but doing nothing can be very difficult. I remember when I was a customs officer, when I worked on the wharf and did night shift, someone had to sit in the gatehouse on the wharf. Every pier had one. And so you'd sit in this gatehouse. But the thing is, the gates to the wharf were shut at 10 p.m. and all ships that were docked on the wharf had to have their gangway up. So there was no action.
Nothing came or went anyway.
So you just had to be there in case someone came to the gatehouse.
In case someone. And so you just sit in there with a Port of Melbourne Authority guy and just talk, read, sleep.
Oh, that's horrible.
I don't think that's a really good thing. I mean, that you're actually having to be in a location, but you get to do absolutely nothing.
But did you tell people, like when you saw him, you go, no, I get paid to do nothing?
Well, they kind of presume that because you're in the public service, but actually nothing.
Do you want to see if there's other people?
Literally nothing. 8 hours of nothing. Absolutely. Tell us if you get paid to do nothing.
Wayne of Griffin, were you ever paid for doing nothing?
Sure was. So I had a gig when I was a young bloke up in Townsville working at the officers' mess bar at the Air Force Base. Mm. So I'd do 11 to 11 on Saturday and Sunday, and I reckon I did it for about a year. I reckon I saw two people.
That whole time?
Why weren't they drinking there?
Well, most of them that lived on base would go away for the weekends. You'd occasionally, when I say two people, I probably under-exaggerate a bit. Okay. Occasionally you'd get the fighter pilots would turn up on a Saturday night, maybe for an hour or so before they'd head out. But generally I read every Bryce Courtney novel from front to back and watched a lot of TV. So
can I just check an interesting point? The fighter pilots, did they ever sing that song? What was it from Top Gun? You'll never close your eyes. Did they all think they were those guys?
I didn't see that, but they used to have a thing called a goanna wrestle where they put a belt around each other's neck and draw an imaginary line and have to pull them back over the line.
I've been involved in a few of those goanna wrestles. They're spectacular.
Oh, my Lord.
I'll show you after the show.
What is that?
Let's do it after this. We need a belt.
Let's not. Angelo.
A rubber strap.
Drewvale. I have a belt on. Anyway, Angelo, have you ever done nothing for a living?
Yes, I have, actually. I used to be a night field manager for one of the big supermarket chains years and years ago when I was a young bloke. And I had a crew in there doing the filling. I was supposed to be helping them on the floor and taking the empty pallets out. But I used to just sit there in the manager's office, listen to the radio and sample all the delicacies from the deli section. Cheeses, hams, olives, you name it. I was having my own picnic in the office.
spectacular, Angelo. Tasting plate. Charcuterie.
It was a massive tasting plate and, you know, like any soft drinks I could grab whatever I wanted. So,
Ange, did anyone ever get you? It had to have run out some stage.
No, mate. Wow. I just had a running with one of the day managers because, he had a bit of an attitude. So I got sick of the night feel, so I just ended up walking out one day. So, no, I never got busted.
Oh good.
Hey, guys, can I just put a bit of a shout-out, if you don't mind?
Oh, here we go. Okay.
No, it's not a bad thing. I just heard on the news earlier that one of the breweries is getting on board to actually use some strawberries for making beer. How about you guys put the challenge out there to some of the cider makers to make strawberry cider to help these guys out?
Oh, I'd like a cider. I'd like a strawberry cider.
We'll
That's
go one
a good
better,
idea, Angelo.
Angelo. We're just looking for people with strawberry recipes. Come on, folks. Let's find a way to use strawberries. Strawberry massage cream. I don't know, something.
Strawberry massage cream. Yeah. Strawberry daiquiris, anyone heard of that?
I'm good for them.
Righto.
Good on you,
Good
Angelo.
Idea, Angelo.
We very quickly turned into the night shift with Luke Boehner there.
double topic on every phone call.
And another
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
I saw something last night that I wanted to get some clarification on. When my kids were really little, they used to go to the library for books, but not for this.
Borrow a hammer rather than a book. The State Library launches Queensland's first tool swap shop.
I saw this. What was it? I didn't watch the whole story. Well, you can go and borrow a hammer and stuff.
Yeah, so people like me who don't have a complete tool kit.
An apartment dweller.
But know like that I need something, like, and someone can tell me I need this kind of thing, like screwdrivery thing, I can go. See, clearly I have no tool kit.
No.
I can go to the library and borrow it.
All right.
So it's like the toy library. Remember the toy library at the local library?
That's exactly what it is.
We would never get one of those toys because they always look so manky. It's like some rotten, festery kid's been sucking on that.
Yeah,
I don't want that anywhere near my child.
And that'll be the same as some of those tools.
Tools, yeah.
Really? What, a manky kid's been sucking on?
Some munter's had the head of that hammer in his mouth.
Or down his shorts.
Okay, enough with the tool library. I'm all good.
Where's that tape measure been? You've been measuring things with that?
And the same with books.
The Big Breakfast with Marto, Robin and the Moon Man.
We were talking about outsourcing last week and I've done some outsourcing this week. Now, don't hate me, Marto. Right. Our cleaner's husband is a tradie. He's a plumber. And she said that while she was cleaning our shower upstairs, she noticed that some water was leaking through to the laundry downstairs because she was hosing into the corners really hard. So she said, I reckon that you need your shower resilicon.
Hold
so
on.
I said, yeah, all right.
She's
let's
drumming
do that.
Up business for her hubby. Is that what you're saying? This is unreal.
That's right. So
they're running a scam on you.
Yeah, they're totally scamming us. So he came along a couple of days ago to resilicon the shower and to tighten some handrails. Like or towel rails throughout the house that are kind of hanging off the wall a bit.
Yeah. You have to outsource that stuff. I would have no idea how to silicon anything.
Yeah.
You know what, Robin? The silicon is a really important job. You know that bit where you've got the vertical surface meets a horizontal surface? That little bit there, that is so important. Like the waterproofing behind the
doors. Yeah, I couldn't do that.
It's really difficult to get that right as well.
Especially in an upstairs shower, you want that all right because you don't want to be showering a light fitting in your laundry.
It's a prick of a job too, mate. Because the hardest thing's getting the silicon out in the first before you refill it, and that's hard as well. And you've got to have a use. Did you watch him do it? He used paddle pops or his finger. Lots of water sprayed.
No, I have done enough manual labour to know leave a person alone.
Oh, good boy.
A watched kettle never boils.
Plus a tradesman who's been watched. I'll add money onto the bill for that.
Adam rocked up. He had an old ute. So, but it was quite neatly kept, okay? Compartments.
I like that.
So he's looking good. You know, he didn't have the newest ute with a whole lot of after factory bits and pieces hanging off it. So immediately I thought, yeah, this guy's solid.
Did he have a company shirt on or what was he wearing?
No, he's just his own man. So he's just got his own. He had a high vis, which is, I think, unnecessary in a suburban house.
Yeah. Need the high vis for me shower.
Look at, don't get in the shower. Oh, I would have if I hadn't noticed the high vis on the guy. But he did the, let me introduce myself, wiped the hands on the pants first, even though his hands weren't dirty, to do the, but it was all about the hands actually, because he said, listen, I'm going to show you what I'm going to do. And he was running his hands across the tiles and he goes, see here, the tile is just kind of slightly depressed. So you're getting water running into this corner here. And he was just explaining it to me just with the plane of his hands. And I thought, you're an artisan. I can trust you completely.
Wow.
You're happy to touch things. And
he's a turd surgeon. He's a plumber. Of course they're happy to touch things, mate.
You can't say
that's what plumbers are called, mate. They'd all be happy to be called that, I think, wouldn't they?
No, maybe not.
But I don't see how did he get?
Like, I don't think I was going to win his trust if I'd have said, "Don't shake my hand, mate. You're a turd."
Surgeon.
But what you're saying is he found a wonderful tradie.
He was a wonderful tradie. He was clean. He was organised, and he explained the job to me, what he was going to do. He took relish in it rather than just going, "Oh yeah, I'll knock this over in 5 months. You'll be right." You know, he looked. No job was too big for him.
See, that's my idea. After having just had renovations done on my house, the thing that I would say, a good tradie is someone who really communicates with me on the front foot. So we'll say, look, we're doing this today, or we're going to come to this point and kept
me informed.
Everyone's
learning something here as they're in their utes, so keep talking.
Okay, so kept me informed and there was...
Do you want to know how much before the job's done? Because often that's hard.
Well, if it's blowing out, I need to. But if not, then we've got an agreed scenario. And the other thing is that was really important to me was timeframes. And things were blowing out because a lot of stuff and was being brought in at certain times to get certain things happening, like the floor polished and all that sort of stuff. So Grant, my builder, was awesome at just keeping me up to date. Because I'm not like, I need to be able to trust a tradie because, you know,
you don't know what's going on.
Yeah, exactly right. So
you didn't stand around watching them, did you?
Oh, God, no.
God, that's important.
He doesn't need me and I have no idea.
So everybody, if you're in your utes about to get out and get to work, a communication.
But I did ooh and ah at the appropriate times. I was very good at that.
Being impressed properly.
A lot.
And you know what?
What?
I reckon you're going to knock a few dollars off the bill if you offer a cup of tea.
Oh, there you go. Mm.
Adam, you want a cup of tea, mate?
All right.
That'd be lovely.
If they're there for a week or so, a six-pack or a carton is so important. Because on the Wednesday afternoon, I've said this before, on the Wednesday afternoon when the going's tough and you're not there, there might be two ways to do a job, the shortcut or the proper way. Okay? You'll never know because there'll be a wall put over it. If you've bought beer and been nice, you'll get the proper job.
We have all learnt something today.
Sure have. Big breakfast, Triple M.
Triple M's big breakfast.
Marto, you mentioned something the other day that really piqued my interest. You said... you went to Mowerland, a place that you had previously referred to as Mower World.
Oh, no.
You've been chided by the owner.
Robin, standby. Are you all right with this?
Mowerland.
Well, we were talking the other day. I went and picked up my mower because I just had it serviced, okay, getting ready for the summer months, the growing months. And when I walked in there, I've been to this place. I've been going to him for 25 years. He moved over. He's over near Pickering Street at Inaugura there. And he said, "Mate, if you ever say the name of the business again on radio, make sure you get it right." So it's Bill Jackson's Mower Land. He said, "I've been calling it Mower World."
Mower Land and Mower World are very different places. Mower World is a place where everything's made out of mowers. Okay, the man has a has a ripcord for a head and handles for arms.
That's Mower World.
That's Mower World. Mower Land is where you go to buy mowers or get them serviced.
And that's what happened. Yeah. I went in there to pick up my mower, okay, and I've got two really cheap, and he got up me last time because I bought, you buy the crap tools, two cheap chainsaws.
Like a Mahindra. Yeah.
Like not a 400. So you normally buy a $400 chainsaw.
Yeah,
they're good ones.
You bought two 100 ones.
I bought shit ones no one knows the names of, okay, that were less than $100. He looked at them and he said, "I'm not touching them. I refuse to have anything to do with them." He showed me why. Anyway, so he said, "Put them in the bin." I ended up walking out.
In the bin?
Well, I went home and put them in the bin. Are you allowed to put them in the normal bin? Chainsaws?
No, I put them in the library.
I put them in the chainsaw recycling bin.
Anyway, so they've gone. Walked out. Just wanted to get a mower serviced. Walked out with a new chainsaw. Girl purchase.
What brand have you got now?
Now, interesting you should say that. It's the first time I've gone into cordless, as in no fuel. I've gone to battery-charged Makita chainsaw.
Interesting.
You're a Makita
really?
Man.
Are we on radio?
Okay. Right, where are we going with this?
Well, mate.
So you've got a battery-charged chainsaw?
Yeah. Wait, but it takes two batteries, so it's actually quite heavy, but you don't have to start.
Just go back to talking about your secret worlds. That's much more exciting than a chainsaw.
Worlds.
Where, you know, the secret places that you go.
Yeah, tell us about your secret world. Marto's discovered Mower Land / World.
You can get lost for hours in there.
Yeah. Have you got a secret world that you go to, guys? 133353. Tell us about your world.
And girls.
And girls, yeah.
I'll nominate Caxton Street Agency, which is a retail fashion agency. agency, but they sell all their stuff off really cheaply, like all their seconds and samples. That is my favourite world in the whole
place.
So
you go behind that door and that's it.
Yeah, sale racks, $30. All right. That is my world.
What's your secret world?
Marto's, of course, is Mower World. That's where he goes.
It's Mower Land, mate.
Mower Land.
Excuse me, Mower Land. Damn.
I defy anyone to go to Officeworks and not walk out with something.
Oh, you're right, too. Oh. And Liquorland.
Oh, and Liquorland. Well, that's
got us nailed.
133353, Terry of Pimpamar. Uh-huh. Yeah, where do you get stuck?
I get stuck in Liquorland. Yeah. Not my world, I get stuck in Liquorland.
Oh, sorry to steal your thunder, Terry.
Just stolen thunder, mate.
Sorry, mate. Which aisle?
What's your aisle?
It's only the beer aisle. There's so many choices, mate. I'm stuck in there for hours.
Yeah. Do you remember there was only two brands when we were young, Terry?
Yeah, VB and DA. Oh, I mean, Foster's and DA.
Terry, you go into the walk-in fridge and there's all these cartons of different beers around and you realise that you've been in there too long. When you start getting hypothermia, you think, I'll make a choice.
Come on, mate.
I'm shivering.
Thanks, Terry. Scott of Mount Cosby, where's your land? Where's your world? Where do you get lost in?
Mate, ARB Gingerly.
Oh, where? God.
Got to go to four-wheel drive accessories.
God, there's some good stuff. Yeah. Like bits and pieces for your four-wheel drive.
Oh, and everything. Do you buy something every time?
Almost, yeah. They must smile when I walk in there. Yeah.
Oh, that's everyone, mate.
Scott, have you got a winch on the bull bar?
Oh, I've got a winch. I've got lights. I've got roof racks. I've got everything.
LED lights. You've got a plug-in Esky, haven't you?
Oh my word! Got two of them, fridge and freezer.
Wow. Yeah, so hey, Scott, do you pay cash so that your wife doesn't see it on your bank statements?
Oh no, I get into trouble. But that, you know. She goes out shopping too, so it's all good.
Scott, do you do your homework before you get there? Like, do you, if one of the assistants come up, can I help you, Scott or sir? Do you need their assistance or I'm right?
No, I'm right. Anything with ARB on it, I got to have it.
Okay, fair enough. Thank you, Scott. Susan of Burfengary. Morning.
Morning, how are you?
Yes, I know. I understand this obsession. What is your world, Susan?
Officeworks.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. I've got so many pens, papers. It doesn't matter. I've spent hours in there.
Is that funny?
Oh. One of my new things at Officeworks that I buy and never use is, you know, those highlighter strips that you use as bookmarks?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, everything is great.
How much would you spend in there, Susan?
I'll probably buy at least three or four pens every time I go in there.
But you don't just go in for pens, do you? Do you know they've got really good garbage bags there for bins?
They've got great stuff in there. They do. I've got for everything. But pens, just test them all out.
Mm. Oh, yeah, go in there to do my photos.
Are you a plastic pocket and a lever arch binder type of girl, Susan?
Yes, like that as well, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Keep everything in order.
Okay. Yes. We've all been there.
You, Susan, you need help.
We all do by the sound.
The big breakfast on Triple M.
Okay, Marto, keep me up to date with what's happening with the Sam Burgess stuff from the Rabbitohs. The captain?
Now, all right, so he used his social media account to send photos of a penis and a bottom.
Well, it was a torso and covered bit.
They're not sure who it was, despite the fact that the watch was very clear, and I'm sure someone knows what the shape of their old fella is. Anyway.
Would you be able to pick yours out in a lineup, Marto?
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, big time. He's been looking at it for half a century.
It'd have to be from the top view.
Why are you answering for him, Brent?
Sorry.
Because he would slightly offended, I think.
Of course he would. Have you seen it?
Anyway, that's not what I wanted to talk about. What I want to talk about, boys, come back from being three.
Sorry.
Okay, sorry.
There were no fart jokes. We were well behaved.
Sam Burgess, it's being decided today whether he'll be allowed to play.
Okay, apparently the inquiry concludes today whether or not they hand down a decision because they're listening to people, I mean, going, hold on, you can't just stretch this out past the weekend and then let him play on the weekend. If he's done something wrong, which he has, it's worse than Mitchell Pearce what's been done here.
Okay, Mitchell Pearce was someone with a dog.
Let's just fill people in if they don't know what Mitchell Pearce did. He was caught humping a dog in Australia Day.
Simulating.
Yeah, you can't say humping a dog.
He can't say humping. He wasn't
penetrating.
And
what happened to him from doing that?
He had his pants on. He had wet his pants.
Okay, we get it.
So what's the worst?
No,
humping is an action.
Boys, what happened to him after that?
Eight-week suspension and $100,000 fine.
Straight away?
Yeah.
100 grand.
100, I think it was 100, wasn't
so
it?
So basically, yeah. Sam Burgess could be up for a lot of suspension.
Well, I reckon they would. They've got people like Moon who's saying, what's he done wrong?
Oh, come on. Well, hold on. You cannot deprive a guy of playing in the finals for a case that has come from, you know, years ago now.
Well, May.
Well, months ago. I'm using his defence. Years and years ago. It's almost so old. It was a crayon drawing of a penis. You can't actually deprive a guy of playing in the finals when he's worked all of his life to do this. Sure, if you want a sanction, like what Mitchell Pearce got, weeks at the beginning of the year and
a fine,
cannot stop him playing in the preliminary final.
But
or
surely
the grand
they've
final.
Been covering this up. If it happened in May and that she got she rang the Rabbitohs sick 5 months ago now.
Yeah, this
four
has
months
only
ago.
Come to fore because she
they're
then
the
went
ones
to the
who
papers.
They thought they could bury this, like rugby league clubs have done traditionally. They've buried things like this. This has poked its head up. And in a choice of better word, this has occurred.
Oh, God. This has occurred. Stay with me.
No, that wasn't intentional,
okay,
that one.
Okay, good. Anyway. Do you want to do this then?
What?
The Big Breakfast's can of worms.
Sam Burgess.
Hold on.
Should.
You can't control Moon and I. How are we going to control callers talking about this?
Well, let's try. Let's not go about why. Let's just talk about whether he should be punished before the weekend, whether he's potentially going to play.
So Moon's saying finals games are worth more than any other games, therefore he shouldn't be.
And also, it's a big part of his life and I think that the punishment should fit the crime. Wait till the end of the season.
Or do we just let his wife punish him? I'm sure she's got plenty.
She's done that already.
Apparently the girl who got this photo sent to her, she's on holidays in South Africa. She won't reply to anyone, so she's not helping. I don't know whether. What does that mean?
What does
do you know
mean?
What I think there's been a communication, and this is purely hypothetical, a communication between the two, and I reckon a third party has then gone to her. Hold on, what's that on your computer?
Is that Sam?
Ooh.
Is that little Sam?
Well, the conversation in the can of worms is Sam anyway. Burgess should get punished before the weekend. That's what Marta thinks.
It happened in May. If they get a decision today and he's done anything wrong like this, like you think of all the things that Mitchell Pitt had.
It happened in May. If there's going to be a sanction, it's not about losing finals. It's like smashing, an egg with a hammer.
So that's what these two think.
Let the
RJ
man play.
Of Crestmead, what do you reckon? Right. Should he play or not?
No, he shouldn't be banned. There's 3 points to it. One, the girls do this to get famous. Two, don't put the game and wreck the game by taking the guy out of the finals. And three, we don't know whose willy it was. So all you're doing is hurting the fans by not letting these guys play.
We'll need a lineup, won't we? We'll need to get all the players lined up and get her to ID them. Classic police lineup.
There's a very, very recognisable watch. Seriously, people are going to know.
He had a watch on his willy.
No.
Imagine that.
That is an interesting comment to Robin Bailey, because Bill Harrigan, former referee, said, why did the woman go to the club and not the police?
Because she went to the club to try and get some answers. When the club ignored it for a number of months, then she went to the press. The club had ample time to do something about this and they didn't. And yes, I agree, she should have also gone to the police.
Gee, you sound like an investigator. No.
Chris of Narangba, what do you reckon?
Yeah, look, I think if he's found guilty, he should absolutely miss it, because otherwise it sends a message to all the young guys in the footy realm that we're valuing a game above someone's actual, the actual human being himself. So
that's right.
Absolutely.
In society, if a girl says she doesn't want to see anything, then the girl had protested and then she got the photos. So that's 100%. Wrong in society.
Yeah, Moon? Yep, no, absolutely. Nothing.
Well, he's still stuck on the watch on the willy.
Okay, okay.
It's another can of worms. Is it okay to put a Rolex on your todger?
No. Stephen,
what's
are
the time?
You doing
this will take me forever.
Stephen of Logan Home, save us. What do you reckon? Should Sam Burgess play or not?
Well, has he been convicted?
Not yet, but could be today.
Today they're handing down a decision.
Well, not convicted.
Can you undo a punishment if the conviction hasn't already been proven?
All right.
What? Wait till
you. Yeah,
know.
I didn't get all that.
Well, no, what Steve's saying is, you know, are you saying that there should be a police investigation before there's a punishment handed down, or?
Well, they've got to conclude it comprehensively before they can actually give somebody a punishment.
Yeah, well, Mitchell Pearce didn't get convicted by the police of anything. That was purely NRL going, that is wrong for our game, that is bad for our game. To Sam Burgess, is that a good thing to send Kiwi girls pictures of your
watch?
It's not
good to send of anyone. Your thing? No, it's not. It's not cool. It's not. And actually, it is against the law if she were to charge.
Yeah, but if you're going to punish him after the weekend or after the grand final. Let's get the football out of the way.
What did everyone say?
We got the results. 55% disagree. They say Sam Burgess shouldn't be suspended for the weekend's match.
Only 55, though. That was close.
Very close.
That is close.
More importantly.
About the watch.
Can you put a watch on your old thing?
Because
you wouldn't want one of the claspy ones. You'd want, you know, like a belt.
We'll take calls right until 9 on that.
Stop it.
A digital?
Swatch.
That was the Triple M Big Breakfast Catch-Up Podcast for Victoria Bitter, official sponsor of Hard Work. You could win a brand new hard-working 4x4 just by drinking Victoria Bitter. Full T's and C's and permits apply at vb.com.au/winner4x4. 18 plus.
It's the end of the podcast. What do you know? So tune in tomorrow and catch the show.
Triple M.